In this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor tempers his usual enthusiasm with a sobering book review.
If you're familiar with this commentary, you know I take great pleasure in observing the natural world, especially the wildlife I come across on a day-to-day basis in East Central Illinois. I celebrate the peregrine falcon that has occupied campus town from September to March in recent years, and the songbirds that bring Busey Woods to life during spring migration, as well as the salamanders, fairy shrimp, and other aquatic creatures that inhabit the ephemeral pools there. I write of the foxes that live among us without calling attention to themselves, and the cicadas whose summer songs we can't escape. I also highlight how people act to benefit the natural world. When I mention Cooper's hawks, I make sure to remind listeners that we now enjoy robust raptor populations because we heeded Rachel Carson's call and banned DDT. When I write about the surprising fish diversity of the Boneyard Creek or the return of mussels to once desolate stretches of the Illinois River, I laud passage of the Clean Water Act and the suite of other effective laws enacted as the environmental movement picked up steam in the 1960s and 70s. In addition, I call attention to the ways people treat land well, whether that's farmers adopting sustainable practices, a land trust protecting and restoring natural areas, or a city making choices that promote ecological values, as in Champaign's development of the Second Street Basin, which combines floodwater storage with a naturalized landscape that supports wildlife. Now and again, perhaps less often than is right, I also point out that the backdrop for all of the above is really very gloomy. Statewide, the landscape of Illinois has been converted for human purposes more thoroughly than that of any other state save Iowa. And in our part of the state, where once the Grand Prairie dominated the scene, we're even worse off. The pre-settlement landscape exists here only in tiny remnants, which most people have never seen. And we have access to only a very narrow range of wild creatures, animals suited to life among us, on our limited public lands, or in the few in-between spaces where neither corn, soybeans, nor buildings grow. My inclination to focus on this side of the ledger is prompted by a book I've just finished, one I highly recommend, The Sixth Extinction by Elizabeth Colbert. Colbert is entirely conversant in the science she reports on, and she presents it clearly for readers who are new to it. Her tales of adventures in the field with scientists, which include trips to the Great Barrier Reef, the Andes Mountains, and the Cincinnati Zoo, among others, afford readers some wonderful vicarious experiences. But the story of the sixth extinction is the story of how humans are destroying the diversity of life on Earth. It reaches back in time to when our ancestors wiped out prehistoric megafauna, think giant elk, mammoths, and moas, continent by continent, and forward to the world of the future predicted by climate scientists. There, coral reefs die off as the oceans acidify, and highly specialized organisms, such as the plants and animals of tropical rainforests, give way to a narrow range of generalists. Whether we intend it or not, Colbert suggests, the enduring legacy of humanity will not be our art or technology, but rather a planet-wide reduction of biodiversity comparable to the one that included the demise of the dinosaurs.
To find out more about Environmental Almanac, to listen to it again, or to see lots of photos, follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu. And you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. The Environmental Almanac is a service of the University of Illinois School of Earth, Society, and Environment, where Rob Cantor serves as communication coordinator.